B-Pod Studios.
They were
matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, this just in, our intern Cam had never heard of the Boston Pops until a few minutes ago. You had heard of them or you didn't know what they were? Which was it? Just one or two. You had heard of them, you had never heard of them,
either.
You heard of them and you didn't know what they were. Just put up a one or a two. You put up three.
Hey, Cam, have you heard of Hulk Hogan? This is his theme song. Okay, good. So you passed the test. That's okay.
Where are you from? What? Cam, are you from Boston?
Bridgewater, yes.
Yeah, doesn't know the Boston.
Never
Pops.
Heard of the Boston Pops?
It's kind of unacceptable.
He was reading a story from the Boston Globe, and he thought it was a fireworks show, like Pops, like firework Pops.
We're not cultured anymore, man. We're not. we're just
sheltered.
Parents today, you know, we're not passing down the.
He can't believe that we think this is a big deal.
It's a huge Boston deal. Pops.
It's just
they are a big deal.
I'm reading that's a fireworks spectacular.
Okay. How old are you, kid?
Cam's what, 20?
You never heard of the Boston Pops? Wow.
Okay. Kids.
He's going to have a nice long drive to the Cape after the show. He can do some research.
One of his friends said, don't mention having to drive to the Cape today because they're going to kill you for it. The last time he brought it up, it was the Friday of Memorial Day weekend. Mm. And he asked us in the middle of the show, do you think traffic will be bad leaving here today at 2, driving to Cape Cod? He said, no, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
It's good. This is why he's doing the internship. He's learning.
You're learning about a lot of stuff, not just radio, okay? All right, now he's upset.
I'm going to give a traffic report.
Now we've upset the intern.
Driving into work today, the Braintree split, there was already backups at the Braintree split heading towards the Cape. So
of course.
Enjoy your weekend.
I bought him lunch today. I bought the intern lunch. I did. I bought him a bag of those buffalo pretzel chips. Right down there.
What a sweetheart.
Yeah, nice. I thought so.
Class act.
Very thoughtful.
Thanks. Thanks. All right. Back to call 617-779-0985. Let's talk with Josh here in Wellfleet because we already had a shark person on who is decidedly anti-shark. John, what are your thoughts on the sharks on the Cape and the islands this season?
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate the time. And I'm a Wellfleet resident. My name's John. And directly connected with this whole issue of the overpopulation of seals and sharks here on the Outer Cape, as well as a problem getting worse throughout New England, all the way up the coast, inside the bay, inside Massachusetts Bay, all the way up to Maine and Nova Scotia. It's a very real problem that we have here, and we need to contact our local and state officials, representatives, all the way up to our U.S. senators, and address this issue, because if it's not addressed right away, there's not going to be a problem with traffic going to the Cape in the not too near future. Because the only reason why people come to the Cape on vacation here are the beaches. And what parent in their sane mind would bring their 9, 10, 12-year-old, like I used to do in the old days before I even lived here, and hit the beaches on vacation and allow our kids to go play in the waves, which is what kids love to do. Now we have the shark infestation problem that has been brought about by unintended consequences through legislation that was put in place almost 5 decades ago that has no outlet and no option at this point to delist species that have recovered. And the gray seal is a species that has recovered and has overpopulated the area.
All right.
And
John, thank you. I'm sorry. We got a ton of calls.
My man
on
was
right
going.
Now. I'm keeping a chart here.
I mean, they are.
So do we put in pro shark or anti shark?
He's anti.
You think he's anti?
Yeah, I think he's anti.
I thought we were at a hearing on Beacon Hill there.
He's
Holy
very
cow.
Much anti.
Well, he spent 30 seconds thanking for us for the time. And then you're doing
30 seconds.
Yeah, you were doing the preamble. I mean, come on. All right. So it's the seals. So we got to do something about the seals. People have been saying this for years. Felger was the first one I ever heard say anything about the Seals, and he spends more time in Nantucket than anyone I know. So, okay, it's a Seal issue. I get that part of it. Also, I have to say, for all the people I kind of like laughed at and said, you know, people are still going to go to the Cape. Well, obviously, people are still going to the Cape. You're looking at the traffic right now. I mean, leaving here today, what's it going to be like getting on the expressway south here in Dorchester?
Forget
it's
going
to suck, right?
Yeah, settle in. It's going to be a long ride.
Not me. I'm not touching it. I will avoid it entirely on my way home today. But the fact that people are still going this weekend, 4th of July, of course they're going to go. Will it start to have an effect? Is it already having an effect? I don't see how it couldn't. I mean, if you're talking about beaches where you don't want to go swimming in those waters, at some point, yeah, that's going to have real tangible consequences, not just Chicken Little. Oh, what's going to happen if people don't go swimming? It will be Amity Island come to life.
If trends continue the way they are.
Well, and a lot of people had the story earlier about, you know, and there is, you know, the shark warning systems are in place. Marshfield has now deployed shark detecting buoys. What are the name of those buoys once again? We have the whole I think there's an online advertisement about these particular buoys. They've put them in near the Marshfield's busiest town beaches, and they have technology that that track the sharks that have been tagged by the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy.
Introducing Clever Buoy.
Right. That's Clever Buoy, as we were.
A smart ocean buoy that detects sharks and sends instant alerts to lifeguards. The buoy detects the sharks by using a breakthrough sonar system we developed that measures the shark's unique movement.
Close to the beach, 250 yards off the beach. So it gives you a radius of 25 yards each way. So if, essentially what they do is signal to somebody on shore there's a shark near one of those buoys.
And then the alarms go off and all hell breaks loose.
Presumably.
Great whites are, they're protected species. I have been for a very long time. And I don't see that ever changing, right? Seals are protected species, and that's what the sharks like to eat. So it's around and around we go.
Animals go on and off the list. I don't know. You know, it changes. Let's go to Matt in Acton, who has something on the Women's World Cup. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. Big fans. So I was wondering if you saw any of the UK articles about the celebration having her smoke weed instead of drink tea. And all Americans being like degenerates because of it. And
oh, yes.
I have one statement, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I have a huge crush on Megan Rapinoe, but I got to say, like every 30 minutes, I've been questioning my sexuality this afternoon. When Sarge looks into the camera after headlines,
yes,
doing that for years, man.
Yes, that's nothing new. That's nothing new.
Thanks for watching,
Sarge. Yeah. I'm not gonna. I had never seen that.
Really?
I saw you do it, and I was like.
Yeah, that's been going on since 2014.
I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that
trademark,
was a thing.
Man. Trademark.
I saw it for the first time today. Yep.
Right into the camera.
It was weird. It was cool, though. If that's your thing, that's awesome, man.
That's it, man. It's a trademark.
Everybody
My man Jay
thing.
Bramble up at NBC Sports Boston told me to do it back in the day, and I've done it since. So thank you, Jay. You created a monster.
Okay, so we have Jay Bramble to thank for that.
That's the guy. I have the inbox message. I'll show it to you.
The Pierce Morgan tweet, I think, about, you know, it looked like she was, you know, when she did the tea drink after the goal.
Yeah.
And then other people tweeted it as a means to troll. I mean, there are like parody accounts that are like, disgusting, outrageous.
Yes. Settle down. You gave a whole great rant on this earlier.
How dumb are you?
Yeah.
How dumb are you? And by the way, if she was smoking a joint, so what? Who cares?
It's legal.
It doesn't matter.
It's legal here.
That's what you're going to get upset by?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly?
Yeah, there's the U.S. women's soccer national team is getting under people's skin, man, big time right now.
Yeah, and they were under my skin, and they're not completely out, but that goal celebration yesterday,
just fine.
That doesn't bother me at all.
No.
On the 3rd of July, you want to stick it to England a little bit more, go for it.
Yep.
Or in this case, the 2nd of July, as it was yesterday. All right, let's grab another one here. My God. Why don't we just run the gamut today? Seriously, there are so many different things that people want to talk about here. Leo and Menden couldn't be more pro-shark. I can't wait to hear this. Go ahead, Leo.
They live there. That is where they live. If I'm sitting at home and a couple of ahi tuna come and sit down on my front lawn, they're going to get got. The sharks live there. We are guests. I think they should get as many as they can. I hope they start wearing human hands as necklaces. Get them all.
All right. Thank you, Leo.
I mean, you know,
intelligent points on both sides of this debate.
Yeah. They're facts.
That's true.
I mean, you know, you kind of know the risk going in there, right?
The ocean is the shark's house. When chickens come in my house, guess what? Mm-hmm. They get ate.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's simple,
true.
Man.
That's very true.
Stay at them oceans. Right. Jesus.
We are guests in their home.
That's
so,
true.
I mean, let's keep that in mind.
More on the Celtics, more on the Sharks, more on the Seals, and something to do with grilling. Now, once we get down the grilling path here, Jim, all hell will break loose.
Oh, then
loose.
It's going to go off the rails? This has been good.
I'm pretty sure we took a sports call in that last segment before you yell at us too much.
No, I'm not yelling. This has been great.
Okay.
Two of the nine segments we've dedicated.
Except for those two callers that sounded like they were doing public radio. Besides that, it's been good.
Right. I fully expected one of them to go start talking about Shveti balls and how to make those at home. But as long as we get the okay from Jim, we will talk about the what to grill and what not to grill segment. Because
this absurd list, yes.
That at that point, we will be 100% off the rails and in holiday mode.
Let's do it.
So Jim and I will develop some kind of a signal. We'll work that out, and then we'll continue here. Hardy and Ted Johnson in for Zoe and Beetle.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle. 98.5
The Sports Hub.
This makes me want to do it right now, Jim, and I don't think we can do it right now. Burgers factor into this conversation of what should be grilled and what should never be grilled. It's going to upset a lot of people. It's already upset Jim Lyles today. We'll get to it.
Wow.
We will. But once we do, there's no...
I can't believe you're going where I think you're going.
Once we do, there will be no going back for the rest of the show. Okay. So just, you know, keep that in mind.
Buckle up.
Instead, we'll go back to your calls. I'm the Celtics and Sharks and Seals and Jim in Jersey. I'm with Hardy and Ted. You're on Zoe and Beetle. Hello, Jim.
Nice to talk to you guys. I think you guys have a real chemistry between the two of you. It's worked out, obviously, but it's natural. It's got to be natural. I'm happy for you guys.
Well, Ted and I have known each other for a while, yeah, this has been fun getting some real time together.
Thank you.
Okay, I just want to tell you guys that, you know, the Celtics bench, Daniel Tice, Olajide, and Yabusele, I mean, they don't compare with guys like Rashawn Holmes or Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. You need some toughness. I mean, this is the same team as last year, maybe, obviously worse.
Yeah, I thank you for bringing it up again, Jim. For all the people that want to believe, and you want to root for the team, and of course you should, it's your team. But don't delude yourself into thinking that this team is somehow better because you just got rid of your two best players. And I know they didn't trade them away, and they wanted to keep both. And you could argue how much they really tried to keep both Irving and Al Horford. But those are your two guys. Yeah. And if you're going to tell yourself that this team can go out there and win without Kyrie Irving and Al Horford holding them back, well, stop deluding yourself. It may have not been the healthiest locker room, and Kemba Walker is a nice replacement, but he's not as good as Kyrie, and there is no replacement for Al Horford, not yet. Right now it looks like center by committee.
Yeah. Hey, if you were to tell if Al Horford would still be on this team, I could make an argument this is a better team. And it would be, it'd be hard because we went through it round and round, you and I did on Monday regarding that, so we don't need to rehash it. But without Horford, it would have felt more like a complete team. The depth, I wouldn't feel as nervous as I do about the depth issues. It takes care of the five position, which clearly they have. They're bringing in a bunch of guys to see who can step up and play that five. And then obviously if you feel like you got a guy at the five, you can play Al Horford at the four, which is still very thin. Grant Williams is your starting four right now. My goodness, he's a rookie. So, it's just without Al Horford, it changes a lot of the kind of dynamic for this team and makes it, I mean, this team very much look some nice pieces, a lot of ifs, a lot of question marks with some of these younger players. It just makes the team really not even close to, in my opinion, to being a contender in the East. Al Horford's here. I think you maybe have a chance at competing in the East. Without him, I think it's going to be a long season.
Right. And again, it becomes a season where if they do, I'm not saying that, of course, it's not impossible. Anything is possible! Of course, if it does start to happen, everyone has cause to celebrate. That's worthy of a celebration and rooting for it and getting behind, and you want to root for him now. I get it. Of course you do. I just, you know, recognize it if it does start to happen as being a truly monumental accomplishment for the 15 guys that we've listed. And on NBC Sports Boston right now, you can look. Your point guards, Walker, who is now unquestionably your best player, Edwards and Wanamaker, all the wings there between Tatum and Hayward, Brown, Smart, Langford, Semi Ojeleye, guys that we know, but guys who weren't able to get it done last year with Horford and Irving in the mix. Your stretch fours of Williams and Yabusele, and then the centers. You know, they re-signed Daniel Tice, and they've got, you know, Robert Williams still on board. Poirier and Enes Kanter, who they just picked up. I mean, this team on paper in every conceivable way is not as good as last year's team. That's all you have to recognize now. Manage your expectations accordingly and get ready to support the hell out of them if they defy expectations.
As far as starters, okay, assuming Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and say Enes Kanter are the starters. Of those five, who's the one known commodity? Or you'd say, you know exactly what you're going to get from this guy.
Out of the wings or the...
Out of the starting five.
Of the starting...
Yeah.
I mean, the one known commodity right now, I would have to say, Kemba Walker.
That's
and
it.
And he hasn't played a second with this team yet.
I get it. But I think of all those guys, I mean, it's Kemba Walker. We don't know what we're going to get from Gordon Hayward. We don't know what we're getting from Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, you know, and you don't know what you're getting with the rest of the guys. I mean, you just don't know. Marcus Smart might be the only other known commodity on this team where you go, okay, you pretty much know what you're going to get with Marcus Smart.
And I love what Marcus Smart brings. I've always been a Marcus Smart fan.
But the rest of them are, honestly, they're just, you know, they've shown flashes. They used to be great players, i.e. Gordon Hayward, who now isn't as much because of the injuries. Jason Tatum, we knew what he was 2 years ago. He wasn't the same player last year. Jaylen Brown, inconsistent. So you just don't know what you're getting with 90% of this roster, and that's what makes it, I think, a little unsettling for people.
Another Celtics call from Justin, who's on the road right now. Justin, what do you got for us?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
See, they're got a little man crush on Ted Johnson, all these callers.
Well, at least we haven't anybody call him Mr. Johnson today, especially guys who are older than him, which I just find creepy and weird.
No one's called me distinguished yet either.
Today. Right.
Seriously. Anywho, I'm going to be you know, I see that, you know, the Celtics definitely want to have the happiest and happiest locker room, but why wouldn't you want a walk-in double-double if you can get them for the veteran minimum at, what, $2.1 million? I mean, he...
You're talking about DeMarcus Cousins. Okay, yeah. And Ted, I know you and Adam Jones went back and forth on this yesterday.
No, where you stand.
Give it. Okay.
You got to stand where Adam Jones stands, I'm guessing. To bring him in, he's got, if you bring him in at a veteran minimum, I mean, are you kidding me? The guy with this kind of talent, why wouldn't you bring him in?
I just want people to be consistent.
No.
And I've heard many Celtics fans say the problem was last year that Kyrie Irving was the problem. He was a locker room problem. And now that he's gone, you have the ability to truly succeed. I just don't want those same people to be the ones calling up and saying, get DeMarcus Cousins here and that'll fix it. Okay? Just be consistent, right? If you're going to say, yeah, he was the best player. So what? Yeah, he was a poison in the locker room. Okay. Don't be the same person and say, get DeMarcus Cousins
right here.
Yeah. Don't do it.
No.
Do it. I don't know
how you could.
I won't listen to it.
I don't know how you could because they're similar type players as far as attitude, as far as what they think of themselves.
I'll do it because I think the locker room stuff is a bit
overrated.
Yeah, I do. I think the talent can overcome it. Look, on a football team, Ted, yeah, there's 53 of you guys, and if there's one jerk, you know, there's enough other guys, there's enough other good guys, hopefully, yeah, in that locker room to keep them in line. Or you just cut them. You don't have to pay his contract, and you get rid of him. And, you know, we've seen it time and time again with multiple teams and multiple cities, and just, you know, whatever. You don't have time to cater to one guy and his personality when you've got 52 other guys that, you know, seem to get it. On a basketball team, you don't have that luxury. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, you do. And the problem is you guys usually take their cues from what on the basketball team? The best player. I don't know whose team this is this year. Is this – and so I don't know who maybe the best player is. I mean, you could say it's Kemba Walker,
he's another lead by example type of guy, right, like Al Horford was, and you saw what that got you last year.
Yeah. I say that with the thought that, you know, maybe just bringing Kemba Walker in won't solve everything because of those reasons. If he's – who's the alpha dog in a room? That's what you want. Who's the guy guys are going to look up to and kind of give the, you know, keys to the car and say, this is your team. They don't have that guy on this team. And so you just worry that there's going to be similar type issues this year that there was last year, even without Kyrie.
All right. Calls from summer playlists to another pro shark call. And somebody with a story about the Hartford Whalers. I don't know. I'm back and forth on this one, but
Brass Bonanza.
We got a lot to get to here, so stay with this, Sarge, with the headlines here and more of Hardy and Ted Johnson in for Zone Beetle coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, my God. Jim Louth and his far, far reach on song meaning sometimes.
Jim's so good at this pump-back music, man.
Do you know what this is in reference to? He said whether or not you're supposed to grill wings.
It's a good excuse to play a good song, right?
Wings. If you like the song.
Some songs you can't play when Zoe's here. He just trashes them. Like, this is one of them.
Oh, he
doesn't
like
McCartney. He doesn't like the Beatles. Yeah.
Big fan of the song, man. Beatles. Genius, man. These guys,
you gotta sneak him in when Zoe's on vacation.
I mean, Beatles is one of those bands. It's like you can't dislike everything the Beatles have done because they've done so much stuff. But I also argue you can't love everything that the Beatles did because it's so different unless you're just going to audio blinders on and say, no, it's the Beatles. I love it. Really? You love everything on that White Album? That White Album is the best ever. Really? Like, isn't Revolution number 9 on the White Album? It's whatever. I don't want to get into
the Beatles songs have so a lot. Is what's amazing to me. A lot of bands today, they all it's the songs all sound the same. Beatles, not so much, right? I mean, they just they all have the kind of each song has its own vibe.
Well, they went on, you know, or I guess they lasted through different incarnations the British invasion. You know, from like you know the essentially a boy band, a really underrated, you know, early version of a boy band. And those songs, you know, those bubblegum songs
were
way more intricate and complex than they get credit for, but then kind of got into some rock and roll and psychedelia and, you know, all this stuff. So
that's true.
Again,
there's a transformation.
How do you dislike or like all of it?
Yeah.
That's my only point.
Pretty decent.
They are pretty decent. Beatles, pretty decent. All right. More calls here. Just running the gamut from sharks to seals to, I kind of want to hear what this story is from Dan in Arizona, but Dan, I'm hesitant too. So let's see if you bring it. What do you got for us?
Hey Hardy, how are you guys doing, man?
First
time, long time, Teddy. Two of my favorite days of my life were the fog bowl and the snowball at Foxborough Stadium. So I just want to get that out there. So I used to work for the Hartford Whalers. I was an intern for them in 96, 97. I'll make my story brief. So I used to be, you know, kind of like, not like an errand boy or whatever, but I got coffee for the GM, Jim Rutherford, maybe twice. And, you know, made him copies one time. And I was on their little slingshot crew, the Wendy's Whalers there the last year. So anyhow, fast forward 5 years, graduate from college, University of Hartford. I'm in North Carolina for my first job as a minor league baseball general manager. And I have an appointment with the Carolina Hurricanes for trying to get them to sponsor my team. So I'm sitting there in the lobby, and Jim Rutherford comes walking by me, and he goes, "Danny boy, what are you doing here?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "I've only probably talked to you maybe twice, and you remember who I am?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, you were on the Wendy's Whalers. You're one of the interns for us the last year we were in Hartford." I'm like, "That is an insane memory. I can't even believe that so, guy remembered me." But
Dan, thank you. And this goes back to what
you,
Ted said about Peyton Manning and how he didn't like him, and then he knew who you were and remembered everything about you. And the word that I was trying to place in my head, Maz texted me, he's like, "Hey, dope, the word you're looking for is charisma." I'm like, "Yes, that's it. That charisma about
charm,
him.
And charisma, yes.
Charm, charisma, given a name, some guys have it. Rutherford, Manning.
You glad you took that call?
50-50. I
don't know. He
brought it around.
I didn't know where
he brought it around at the end.
He did.
He saved himself at the very end. People listening, though, have zero context of what we're talking about because we were talking about all that charm and charisma and Peyton about 5 seconds
like,
ago.
None of us are professional storytellers, but you could have said, "I was interning for the Hartford Whalers, met so-and-so. 10 years later, I mean, and he comes up and he recognized me, and I couldn't believe it."
Yeah.
I mean, you could have done it in a quarter of the time.
I will say this about the names and people remembering your name. It's just a lot of people don't take the time to learn people's names. So whenever I meet someone who does take the time or tries if they don't know me and references me by name, I do appreciate that. There's been studies that have been done where they've put things onto the people's heads to try and see their brain how it reacts to when their name is said, and it lights up
certain areas of the frontal lobe and whatnot.
So there's scientific evidence to back up that people do like hearing their names.
Well, speaking of science, a science student at Sacred Heart in Walpole. This is Aiden. I don't know what this is about, but something tells me it has to do with sharks. Go ahead, Aiden.
Yeah, so I'm a coastal and marine science student at Sacred Heart University, and I just wanted to say that the population boom from the seals is caused by the lack of sharks present in the Cape. So the sharks that are now coming to the Cape are a result of the overpopulation, and what's going to happen is we're going to see more sharks and then less seals and then obviously less sharks. And then eventually all the populations will just settle out over the next, like, 30, 40 years.
Okay, so that's a long time to wait it out. Aiden, what's wrong with maybe helping to trim down that seal population a little bit?
You definitely can. That's definitely an option. But it's just easier to let nature take its course. because if we say, like, purposely hunt half the population of the seals, as a drastic example, that could adversely affect the sharks. And sharks are a keystone species in marine environments, meaning they are at the top of their food chain.
I understand. Yeah, apex knows. Predator, please. I could teach you a thing or two.
Dang, Hardy.
Yeah. Huh?
Whoa. But
I've been told the seals will just come down from, like, further north. They'll just replace it. It's like, oh, no, they got good rocks down there off Chatham. We should go down there. Yeah, I hear it's not so crowded anymore. Not so easy to cull the seal population as one would think.
There's just no easy answer to this, is there, Hardy?
Drop a couple of orcas in there. Lift them out of what you know, whatever sea worlds are still left. Pluck the orcas out of them tanks, and then just drop them there off the coast of Yarmouth, and see if that helps. Sharks don't like them orcas, not at all.
You watch the ocean from a distance.
it's their home, you know. It's their home.
You swim in the ocean?
I'll go in there just to. To cool off.
Yeah, splash around a little bit.
That's about it.
You wanna go
surf? Not going to see me.
Well, you're a surfer.
I am.
You grew up, you were on the surfing team in high school in San Diego.
There are not sharks in Southern California, though. There's just not. You don't have shark attacks in Southern California. The water's too warm. Or... So
a lot of seals in Northern San
California.
Diego, though.
No.
What are those? Northern
California.
So what are those?
Big, a lot of sharks, great white sharks that you'll see off the coast of San Francisco. Because there's a ton of seals.
You've never been out of Torrey Pines?
Of course.
I grew up. I know, you're Carlsbad. But right on the cliffs there are a lot of seals there.
I don't recall that. And if there is, they don't attract the sharks then.
All right.
I lived in Carlsbad, California, which is just north of San Diego for six
Beautiful
years.
Beautiful town.
It's the best. It's the best. I don't remember anybody ever getting attacked.
We don't have time to get to it right now, but a quick Google search shows all kinds of shark attacks in the San Diego area.
Really?
We'll get to those later. But we got more to get to. Bruce Arena will be joining us next year on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, more calls. Hardy and Ted Johnson on for Zoe and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We haven't had a football call yet today. Well, I guess we have one about Gronkowski.
That was it, yeah. Just somebody asked about his transformation, his body transformation.
Let's go to Gary and Hingham. Gary has a football question for Ted Johnson, of all people. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, what do you think? You think the Patriots are going back to the Super Bowl next season?
Yeah, what do you think there, Ted?
Man, just tee that one up for me, Gary. I'll try and knock it out.
What do you think?
I think they're more poised to go to the Super Bowl now this year than they have any other year. I think their depth on defense is fantastic. I love the secondary, the versatility they have in the secondary. The interchangeable parts that you can have back there. I love the fact they brought Jamie Collins back. I love if Juwan Bentley can stay healthy. I compared him to like a Brandon Spikes type of thumper. I like Dante Hightower more on the outside. Michael Bennett trade. Like that defense, that first half of that defense last year was – and I didn't come on and start doing work with the Sports Hub until the very end of the season. And I remember it was all rainbows and lollipops because I just came on right after they had won their last two home games against the Jets and the Buffalo Bills. And so I, at that time, it said, man, this team's figured it out and they've turned on the switch. And I got crushed for it.
And I said, if you had me on all season long, and Felger was giving me crap for being all positive, I said, if you had me on most of the season, you would have heard me be – I was very down on that team. Uninspired play, particularly on defense. Obviously, a lot of question marks at the wide receiver position. But this year, no question marks on defense. All three levels, they're loaded. Maybe a little thin at defensive line. But on the offense, I know there's a lot of question marks around their wide receivers. I think they're going to be fine there. I think Philip Dorsett's a better player than what a lot of people give credit. Maurice Harris, who they brought in, I think is going to be very good. Question marks at tight end. That's really their biggest kind of weak spot on the entire team to me is tight end. They find ways to work around it with the depth they have at running back. They can be very creative on offense like they always have and really lean on the running game like they did last year. So, I mean, who do you got in the AFC that scares you? I mean, does Steelers scare you? Kansas City, okay, but they've lost, you know, they've lost a lot of guys. They brought in a lot of guys. You know, the Chargers are still the Chargers to me. The Colts, okay, maybe. You can make an argument for some AFC teams, but the Patriots are superior to all those teams. So I think it's a foregone conclusion, you guys, that they go back to the Super Bowl. Wow. I mean, and Vegas agrees with me. They got them as the best odds to win. No surprise.
Josh in Somerville has a story about when he met you, Ted. How about
hey,
that,
guys.
Josh?
What's the story? Long time. Love the show. This is a great tandem, actually. Since I had you guys on, today, I wanted to since we're doing Ted Johnson sightings and story time, I wanted to go way back to 2001 when I met Ted. I met you at it was the Salem Country Club U.S. Senior Open.
Yes,
the final round.
I was with my dad. Yeah, yes.
Yes, you were actually with three lovely ladies, but that's not in the story. Not my business, anyways. But
All right, Josh. I'm sorry, we got to cut you loose. I've got a follow up to that we will get to, but
I remember being with my dad. That's I felt like I brought my dad to that.
Way to blow your cover, this guy.
No, that's fine. I
got a good story behind that.
I got to go in from the U.S. Senior Open up in Salem, too. But okay, after we speak with the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution, Bruce Arena, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Bruce.
Hello. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you. And much better after that win over Houston the other night. I got to say, it seemed like you guys were overdue for a late goal to go your way. And I don't know if you believe in law of averages working out, but it seemed like it was well past the time that a 91st minute goal should have swung the game in your direction as opposed to the other way.
Yes, that's what I understand. The year hasn't gone real well in regard to games that go late, and the Revs have not been able to produce 3 points at the end of games, and certainly we did on that day. And it was a great win for our team. They played very well, played very hard.
Hey, Coach, since you've come on, it's been this complete turnaround. In the last six games, you guys are on an unbeaten streak. You know, and as a coach coming in midway through the season, how did you get guys to buy in? Because I played on teams, and you need the coach to sell something to you where you can buy in. How did you get guys to buy in? Because they've obviously are playing much better now that you've arrived.
Well, I think you got to convince them that you have some credibility in what you're saying, and you're fair to them. You give everyone an opportunity to compete on a daily basis, and we give them, we train them well. We give them a game plan that hopefully positions them well enough to win games, and they've bought into it. And having said all of that, I inherited a great group of players. They're really good people. They're dedicated to their craft, and they've worked real hard to try to turn this thing around. So over the last couple of weeks, we've had some success.
Bruce, you've had success on, you know, all levels of the game. The Women's World Cup going on right now. Just wondering if you've had time to watch any of it, and what do you think of the U.S. women's performance so far?
I have watched. I think they had an outstanding World Cup. I only saw highlights of the game against England, but you got to give the goalkeeper a lot of credit for saving that penalty kick. And, you know, good teams, when they're not playing at their best, they'll find ways to win. And they've been able to do that, I think, in the quarterfinals and the semifinal. And I think in the final, they're going to be ready to play their best game.
You know, on that save on that penalty kick, it seemed to me as though the keeper waited until, I mean, after the ball had left the foot of the player from England, which is something you don't see at, you know, in the Premier League level or the MLS. It just seemed like she had maybe a little more time to wait and then react. Like she hadn't, didn't pick a side. She waited for the ball.
Yeah, I think she read the player and anticipated she was going to her right. And you know, goalkeepers get a little lucky too, but I think she did a very good job in diving. She anticipated where the ball was going to go. And all fairness, the English player didn't strike the ball with enough velocity or position it where she needed to. But having said all that, it was a very good save.
All right, Coach, tomorrow you guys play the Colorado Rapids, a team that is really playing very, very well. What is your key to getting one against the Colorado Rapids?
Well, playing in altitude is never easy. I'm sure you gentlemen know that from every sport. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're playing at about 5,200 feet. So one of the things we need to do is try to get the first goal in the game so we're not chasing the game. When you're playing in Colorado and you're trailing, it's difficult with the altitude. So our game plan is certainly going to be rock solid defensively and try to get the first goal in the game.
All right, very good. Bruce Arena, we appreciate the time as always. Good luck in Colorado. We'll be talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Enjoy the fourth.
Okay, thanks. You too. There he goes. You're a head coach and sporting director of the Revolution, Bruce Arena.
There's something to that altitude now. Playing all 4 years in Boulder, Colorado, it is legit. It's definitely, there's a reason that the Olympic training facility is located in Colorado Springs. So there's something to that stuff.
There were people when I lived in Albuquerque. There were marathoners who moved to Albuquerque to train there because Albuquerque, also up in the north in the Northeast Heights, mile high,
yep.
Same altitude
yep.
as Denver. You train up there, and you train up there, and train up there, and then you go down to run a sea level either at Boston or New
yep.
York, and it feels like you got an oxygen mask.
Run
on.
All day. Yeah. Yeah, I played when it was the Big Eight, way back when it was the Big Eight. And so we played, we'd go play Nebraska, we'd go play Oklahoma, we'd go play Iowa. I could run for days because of my conditioning that I did in Boulder. So it's that altitude is legit.
Okay. Now we begin, Jim. After Sarge and his 90-second hub headlines, the segment that has threatened to derail the show all day. In a show where you could argue was derailed after the first 28 minutes, the derailment scheduled for 90 seconds from
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.